Earlier today I was having some exercise by swimming laps in a pool. Now don't laugh at me, it was a perfectly satisfying day to spend a lovely weekend afternoon. In any case, so earlier I was swimming, and I realised that usually when I'm doing something laughable for the sake of exercise, I can distract myself easily with music or podcasts. Not my own podcast, of course, because I already know what they're comprised of and because I don't love myself that much. But it's impossible to do something like this with swimming because there are not, I don't think, any water-friendly podcast playing devices. And so you're left with no way at all of diverting your body's attention from the suffering you're putting it through, which is unfortunate. Psychological, horrifying, almost absurdly cramp-inducingly humorous, and made me immediately think that I had to come home and read tonight's story for you. I hope you can find the connection. Good evening. It's Sunday, the 24th of September 2006, and it's Miette's Bedtime Story Podcast. The Joke by Paul Goodman. Crossing the 181st Street Bridge after a card game on the first floor of a house on University Avenue. Mr. Taylor was in high humour, for he and his wife had ended the evening with a small slam in hearts redoubled. "Do you want to hear a funny joke?" he said, unaccountably lapsing into a phrase, funny joke, that he had not used for 35 years. And this was his original mistake, for we must not revive memories of the time when we were 7 and 8. Mrs. Taylor, who was in a temper for good reasons that we need not go into, did not answer. "Well, it seems," he said, hurrying on all by himself to destruction, "that in 1492 Columbus and his ships anchored off the island of San Domingo, and there were 2 Indians on the shore. So Columbus took out a megaphone and yelled, 'Hey there, are you the Indians?' And they yelled, 'Yes, we are. Are you Columbus?' And when he yelled, 'Yes,' they turned and waved to the rest of the Indians who were hiding in the bushes. 'Come on out, boys, we're discovered!' Mr. Taylor laughed uproariously at his joke. But since Mrs. Taylor, who was cross, did not join him, his laughter rang out alone among the footfalls on the deserted bridge. For it was 2:30 of the silent night, when many things can be done with a common understanding that there will be no scandal. "Now, what's funny about it?" she said. "I can't see any joke. He did discover America in 1492, didn't he?"
"Yes, but how did he know that they were the Indians?"
"He was looking for India. He set sail to find a western route to India, didn't he?"
"Yes, but how did they know they were the Indians? I mean, how did they know that his name was Columbus?"
"I can't see the joke," said Mrs. Taylor.
"How did they know that they were discovered? What a thing to say! Come on out, boys, we've been discovered!"
But at this, laying such stress, such undue stress on the word discovered, Mr. Taylor started and paled somewhat, as if someone had called his name or tapped him on the shoulder. "Frankly, I can't see it," said Mrs. Taylor. "It was bound to happen, wasn't it? They couldn't expect to remain there in isolation forever, on the other side of the ocean. Somebody was bound to find them out sooner or later. Why shouldn't they say, 'Well, at last, comrades, we've found out,' or whatever they said?
come on out, we're discovered.
To find them out, sooner or later, murmured Mr. Taylor, as if in a trance, and stopped walking.
Well, look at the launch all lit up with green and red lights coming up the river, faltered Mr. Taylor, to cover his confusion, and account for stopping short. He moved against the rail of the bridge, where the waters of the Harlem River could be seen swirling far below, and he took out his handkerchief and mopped his brow. A street lamp patiently glowed on the secluded pavement under High Bridge. On Ogden Avenue, a little white dog trotted after them, looking for a home.
It's not a launch, but a tugboat. It's not going up the river, but down, said Mrs. Taylor.
Once more, they started on their way. About that joke, he said, can't you see how stupid it is for them to think of being discovered? Nobody ever thinks himself of being discovered. He's there. He's known. He's the one who does the discovering. Let me explain it.
In this way, Mr. Taylor persisted in his self-destruction, or at least in the destruction of an elaborate framework of self-deception, which amounts to the same thing. At this time, he had dropped the whole matter of Columbus and the silly Indians. Mrs. Taylor would not have been the one to remind him. But to stop, once he had started, was, of course, what he could not do.
"Whoever said that those Indians were stupid?" cried Mrs. Taylor. "Why shouldn't they think of the possibility of being found out some day? It could happen to us, too, couldn't it? Supposing some explorer today—"
"Where could he come from?" cried Mr. Taylor.
"Supposing he came from the planet Mars, and he saw us right on this bridge and called out or tapped you on the shoulder?"
With an awful shudder and a haggard look on his face, Mr. Taylor turned sharply around to the right, away from Mrs. Taylor, to see if there was anyone behind.
"It's all right. There's no one there, Beau. We haven't been found out yet," said Mrs. Taylor.
"Is that so?" said Mr. Taylor, angrily. "A lot you know about it."
"What now? Another riddle? One of your jokes that nobody can understand?"
"It was a simple joke!" screamed Mr. Taylor. "The joke's on you for being such a fool! That's who it's on!" he bellowed at his wife. "Why did I ever marry such a fool?" He roared at the top of his lungs so that there was a remote echo from the wooded cliff in Highbridge Park.
"Marry?" said Mrs. Taylor, perplexed.
"Can't you really understand this simple joke?" he insisted petulantly. He was about to begin to whimper, and Mrs. Taylor might have noticed if they had not just passed a lamp-post and entered a zone of darkness that there were tears welling in his eyes. To bring these coursing down his cheeks required but the words he now spoke. "Those Indians standing on the shore, when suddenly the three sails, or the three ships, appeared above the horizon. How could they possibly have foretold that the captain's name was Columbus? As if they had read it in Merrill's 4A history book, on page 16 in bold-faced type, opposite a full-page picture that I can no longer visualize." At this the tears coursed down his cheeks.
But maybe you're right," he faltered, "and if they had truly understood their situation, they ought to have seen that they were on the verge of being found out.
and if they had analysed it more deeply, they might have even seen that it would be a Genoese captain who would come, for the commerce of Genoa bred daring mariners, and why mightn't they even guess that his name was Columbus? People often have such intuitions."
"Murray, you're crying," said Mrs. Taylor, thunderstruck, as they finally came into the illumination of the next lamp.
"What you said, that they couldn't remain there in isolation forever, on the other side of the ocean, makes me cry. No one is on the bridge, not even a streetcar.
When you have to explain it, almost any joke is likely to make you cry."
"Well, it's not my fault, I hope," said Mrs. Taylor.
"If only I could recollect the picture on page 17, I'm sure I wouldn't cry. I think it was Columbus kneeling before Ferdinand and Isabella."
"Are you sure you aren't feeling ill?"
"I'll be able to stop in less than a minute," said Mr. Taylor, in a woeful voice.
"Here, sit down on the bench," she said, for they had come to a stone bench built into the pier at the middle of the bridge. And he sat down heavily, defeated. But the fact was that he looked 15 years younger than he had before. The lamp above him, on the right, not far from his head, drew his profile in a sharp line on the pavement. At the end of the bridge sounded the distant rumble of a trolley car, causing a tremor to run through the entire structure, from end to end. The water tower of the High Bridge Reservoir stood against the night sky. And in a doorway on Amsterdam Avenue, two adolescents, who had spent the small hours in vicious practices, lit their cigarettes. Of a sudden, Mrs. Taylor saw the point of the joke about Columbus and the Redskins. And although apprehensive, she burst into a fit of laughter. She gasped again and again. "It's a good one," she said gaily. "Come on, comrades, we're discovered." She could not contain her laughing, and there she stood laughing, as he sat there, crying.